Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you on board as we face the issues. We're delighted to have your dialogue and discussion about the issue each and every day. Let me remind you that this broadcast is designed around you, our listener, to get you to become involved in the issues of the day. We're going to be talking about a very serious issue today. It's a timely issue. It's an issue that should grasp the attention of each and every one of us. Who controls the storm? Who controls the storm? We're going to be looking at this issue, as we do each and every day, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that should be the first, foremost, and final decision in each of our lives, regardless of the issue, regardless of what we're dealing with, whether we're talking about political, social, economic, weather-related things as today, we're talking about theological, biblical issues, each and every one should be viewed under the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I've said before, and I'll say again, at the risk of redundancy, that's having a central biblicist worldview. In fact, truth, thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117:2, says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I commend to you truth. Truth is something that's not sought after today. Truth is something that is Belial today. Truth is rejected, demeaned today. Truth is dissed, as the world calls it. It goes back to the statement made by the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, produced and published in the late 40s. And in that novel, Orwell said, and may I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find ourselves in that declension today of despising and hating anything that's called truth. If you look at the left and you talk, I call them the loose likes, lost liberals. You look at those that are the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrat, leftist, ladies and gentlemen, they reject anything that's called truth today. I believe that if you'd spell the word, put it on the piece of paper, put it before them, they couldn't even pronounce the word. They're so far away from what is called truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote carefully, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is needful today, as much, if not more so, than we find in the history of our great nation. We need to be willing to stand for truth and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time can answer your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand, landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That address again is 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, there's some good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its staff to worship in the house of God and the church of God with the family of God, as God's Word intended it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does, placing you into the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all of the state of Florida is under an ominous cloud today. The news, I believe, is on a global basis that all of the channels are focused on the satellite image of a giant storm. It's called Hurricane Ian. Hurricane Ian. Ladies and gentlemen, the hurricane is approaching the state of Florida, coming in at the west coast, according to the latest news this morning. The satellite image of this monster storm is pretty ominous. I don't know about you, but I've been here in Florida now for about 40-plus years. I don't know if I will ever get accustomed to watching the satellite images of these monster storms as they come across the Atlantic from the tip of the African coast and come across the Atlantic, barreling toward the peninsula called the state of Florida. Sometimes it misses us. Other times it goes into the Gulf and comes back to hit us. And that's what we find taking place with this particular monster storm called Ian. Ladies and gentlemen, as we watch that, it's not unusual for an individual to be frightened. It's not unusual to be afraid. In fact, I just heard some unusual news about the state of Florida during the course of the past 2 or 3 days. It was, I believe the statistics said about 11,000 people moving into the state of Florida. I don't know if it was on a weekly basis, daily basis, or monthly basis. But nevertheless, 11,000, let's even say per month, moving into the state of Florida. That means we have mega thousands, perhaps let's say hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Florida as I speak that's never experienced one of these monster storms. They've never had to live through it, prepare for it, or anything that they could expect from it. And as a result of that, I believe there's a state of panic, a state of fear, a state of anxiety, a state of worriness, and a trembling heart, if you will, by multitudes in the state of Florida, even, ladies and gentlemen, those that have been here a lifetime. Some have been interviewed and say, we've stayed through several storms. We have bunkered down and just waited for the storm to pass over. But with this one, we're packing up and shipping out. We're going to evacuate. I have listened to multiple channels in the reporting of this storm. And ladies and gentlemen, the headline news is ominous even in and of itself. To read the headline news and realize what is the potential. Now, the telephone number today is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And my invitation to you is to call in. I'd love to know where you are, what you're doing, what your preparedness is. Have you bunkered down? Have you boarded up? Have you left town? Have you evacuated? Are you prepared? And what is the thing that you're most afraid of during these next 2 to 3 days? They say that it will go through the coming in the west coast. Chances are good it will cross the state of Florida, crossing the peninsula on a northeast track, and then make a sharp turn back to the north, and will be very problematic on the west coast and the east coast, and going into Georgia and the Carolinas after it goes past the peninsula called the state of Florida. And I'm explaining all of that because in this broadcast today, the focus that we want to ultimately get to in the next few minutes is asking the question, who controls the storms? Who controls them? Is it government? Are we right now in the grip of climate change that's causing this? Ladies and gentlemen, throughout the past several years, we've had these globalists, we've had the socialist Marxist media, along with the administration, tell us that we're in a state of climate change. And as a result of the climate change, they tell us that we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the floods, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the fires, and all of these things taking place. And we're told by government that it's as a result of climate change, and there's nothing can be done unless we basically lock down America, shut down industry, shut down trade, cancel everything that's called what we've come to know and appreciate for the industrialization of America. And as a result of that, we have multitudes today that are believing that we're helpless and hopeless because all of these things, i.e. the storms, are in the hands of the governmental officials and what they tell us and what they do. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as we'll see in a moment, that is simply not the case at all. I'm looking at one headline. It says this, 155-mile-an-hour winds. Ian approaches Cat 5 monster. Subheading, those who remain behind will need to hunker down, prepare to ride it out in the major hurricane as it hits. As of 7 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time Wednesday, that's today, Hurricane Ian had a maximum sustained wind of 155 miles an hour, just 2 miles shy of Category 5 intensity. Ian was moving north-northeastward at 9 miles an hour and was about 75 miles southwest of Manasota Key, Florida. Hurricane force winds extended outward 40 miles, and winds of tropical storm reached 175 miles from the center, according to the National Hurricane Center. Ladies and gentlemen, just that headline alone is enough to frighten the average person. Just that headline alone should cause an individual to look up and realize that it's not human beings that's in control. In fact, I watched one of the weather men on one of the weather channels that said, it's out of our control. It is something that Mother Nature is in control of. Ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you, Mother Nature has no control over what we see taking place. It's not Mother Nature that's in control. It's Father God that's in control. It's not government. It's God that's in control of the winds and the rains and the hurricanes and the fires, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, in some occasions, it is man-caused, but God is still ultimately sovereign and in control. I'm looking at another headline, ladies and gentlemen. The headline says, Hurricane Ian to make landfall earlier than expected as 2.5 million are evacuated in Florida. The article reads in part, federal officials said in a recent update on Tuesday that Hurricane Ian is expected to make landfall earlier than previously expected. Ian is moving toward the north near 10 miles an hour. This motion is expected to continue today. It's talking about now, today being Wednesday. The update said, a turn toward the northeast, with a reduction in the forward speed is forecast tonight and Wednesday. Storm surge, headline. Landfall is expected late afternoon on Wednesday between the Tampa and Fort Myers areas. The time, the track, the intensity of the storm could change at any moment, this article says. Then there's a full page, a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of the satellite image of the storm and the projected track that it will take, leading through all the way through the state of Florida and up into Georgia, the Carolinas, North Carolina, Virginia, etc. This article then further states, ladies and gentlemen, listen, our biggest concern as we wait for this storm to make landfall is storm surge. In 2018, the Hurricane Michael impacted the Florida Panhandle. There were 5 recorded fatalities as a result of the storm surge alone. Therefore, if people are told to evacuate by the local officials, please listen to them and do so. This article further says, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said an estimated 2.5 million people were under evacuation orders. He urged people to prepare for power outages and to get out of the storm's path. Now, let me just pause. What would be out of the storm's path if you're in the state of Florida? basically you'd have to leave the state of Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, they've already shown aerial drone and helicopter videos of what's happening on I-75 going north, what's taking place on I-95 north, what's taking place on Interstate 4 east and west with the attempts to evacuate. Last time there was a major national urgency in the state of Florida for evacuation, multitudes wound up on the highways, running out of gas, stranded on the packed parking lots called the expressways and the highways. Multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, had wound up sleeping through the storm in their automobiles as a result of a rush to evacuate. Now, I'm not telling you don't evacuate. I'm not telling you what to do in the process. We're talking about today what's taking place, and we want to do an analysis of what is happening, and then we want to make a transition as to who's in charge, who's in control. Is it the Hurricane Management Center? Is it the governor? Is it some bureaucrat in an office someplace telling you to evacuate? Who's in control? Who's in charge of this? This article says when you have 5 to 10 feet of storm surge, that is not something you want to be a part of, DeSantis told the audience on Tuesday. Mother Nature is a very fearsome adversary, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, may I again insert the statement, it's not Mother Nature that's the adversary. It's not Mother Nature that's the problem. It's Father God that's in control. Ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, you'll not find where Mother Nature has precedence over, power over, control over, and determination over the authority of God. God is sovereign. God is in control. And as we look at these headlines, again, may I say, it's only normal and natural from the human perspective to have a sense of that which is happening is ominous. That which is taking place is out of our control, and it is. But I want us to not displace the control factor and put the control factor in the hands of the government, the governmental agencies, or the bureaucrats that are making decisions on who hunkers down, who has to evacuate, who can stay, and who must leave. It's far beyond that, ladies and gentlemen. I want us to recognize and understand today that God is in control. Looking at another headline, Hurricane Ian may spike food prices. Now, I find it unusual that in the midst of the hurricane, in the midst of the hurry for an answer, in the midst of the ominous sense of where we're going and who's in danger and what you need to do, in the midst of that, there's inserted, ladies and gentlemen, a factor that may be necessary. I don't know. It may be needful. I find it a little out of place, displaced as from the standpoint of urgency. When it says Hurricane Ian may spike food prices, the storm is expected to make landfall in Florida midweek. This was reported on Tuesday. And the center of the article says Hurricane Ian could temporarily impact gas prices also. Mosaic Company, which mines phosphorus and potash and uses them to make fertilizer, is headquartered in Tampa. Its North American phosphate operation makes up approximately 50% of North America's farm supply of granulated phosphate fertilizer and 12% of the global supply in any given year, the company said on its fact sheet they were presented. In other words, in the midst of this, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the hurricane, in the midst of the fiasco, in the midst of the ominous feeling of the average person, in the midst of the fear and the danger, they're bringing this up. Maybe needful, maybe necessary, and it's perhaps very, very true. We already talked about on this broadcast before, we're in a state of famine, a gas famine, a fuel famine, a financial famine, and a food famine in America. And we're watching things of this nature, i.e. the hurricane, that's going to exacerbate the problem and promulgate a major difficulty in America to fast-track the food famine that I believe is on the horizon. But may I insert a little parenthetical footnote with that, ladies and gentlemen? I believe God is still sovereign. God is still in control, and it just may be, ladies and gentlemen, that God is attempting to get the attention of not only the Floridians, but the people across the nation. We're in a society today where God has been abandoned, where God has been banned, where the Bible has been rejected, where truth has been denied, and where there is a sense of, I'm in control. It just may be, ladies and gentlemen, just as when 9/11 took place and we saw the devastating catastrophic events in New York that, ladies and gentlemen, for about 90 days in America, there was a major focus on God. I'll never forget watching the major billboards put in orange groves on each side of I-4 traversing the state of Florida. Each side of I-4 would have large signs that says, "Pray for America. Ask God to intervene." Some even had the signs, "Where is God?" Ladies and gentlemen, our recognition that God did it, that God was in control, that God is the one that's the authority, that lasted for about 90 days. In fact, by the way, there was some major city authorities, county authorities, that forced the farmers, the Orange Grove farmers, to remove those signs because they said you couldn't put a billboard, that those signs were illegal billboards, simply saying, "Pray for America." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God was getting America's attention through 9/11, but I believe it lasted about 90 days, some cases 180 days, but it dissipated very rapidly. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, when we watch what is happening today in the state of Florida with the unknown potentiality of lives being in danger, property being endangered, difficulties being faced, I believe as we see this taking place, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize and understand that God is still on the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline that I believe is necessary for us to understand, to tie up loose ends, and to move forward with the answer. We're asking the question, who controls the storms? Who is it in control? This article says 2.5 million Floridians ordered to evacuate as Hurricane Ian barrels closer. Subtitle, a hurricane warning has been issued along Florida's Gulf Coast and into central Florida ahead of the expected wind, rain, and storm surge from Hurricane Ian this week. Further, the article states, Hurricane Ian continues to strengthen and organize as its path takes it forward through Florida's west coast. Ladies and gentlemen, in Tampa Bay, people are being told to evacuate. Beachfront properties are forecasters say the storm surge will create a massive problem for the state's third largest metro area, according to Fox Weather Report. Subheading, Tampa, Florida. At least 2.5 million Floridians are currently under some type of evacuation orders as Hurricane Ian rapidly intensifies into an extremely dangerous Category 4. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying now when it makes landfall, it will be a Category 5. This is taking place on Wednesday as it approached Florida Gulf Coast hours from an expected landfall. There's still uncertainty with where the exact landfall will be. But just understand, this writer says, the impacts are going to be far, far broader than just where the eye of the storm happens to make landfall in some areas. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said in the news conference Tuesday, there will be catastrophic flooding, life-threatening storm surge, end quote. Much of Florida's Gulf Coast, south central Florida, is under hurricane warning. Given Florida's unique coastline, the topography lends itself to state being highly susceptible to storm surge flooding during hurricanes. Subtitle again in the article, evacuations ordered along Florida's west coast. Several counties along Florida's west coast have already issued mandatory and voluntary evacuation orders, including Tampa Bay, listen, where 300,000 people along the route are told to evacuate. Further, the article says, Ron DeSantis urges Floridians to prepare now. Regardless of Ian's exact track and intensity, there's a significant risk of life-threatening storm surge, hurricane-force winds, heavy rainfall along the west coast of Florida and the Florida Panhandle to the middle of the week. Florida activates the National Guard. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, is on this. He is watching every move, everything that's being done, and is making plans for it. Says because of Hurricane Ian, 5,000 members of the Florida National Guard have been activated and have been pre-positioned at armories across the state. In addition, 2,000 National Guard members from Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina have been activated to assist in the state of Florida. Nearly 300 ambulances, paramedics, buses, and other support vehicles have also been deployed to the areas where Hurricane Ian could have major impact in our state, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go on and on and on with the headlines and the articles, but I think I've laid the foundation. I think it's pretty sufficient for us to understand that across Florida, South Georgia, and coastal counties are all now waiting, wondering, and worried. Airports are closed. Schools are closed. National Guard activated. Emergency shelters have been opened. Highways are in gridlock from the people fleeing the state of Florida. Grocery stores, shelves are now emptying. Houses are boarded up. Fear seems to be setting in. The ones that are remaining are bunkered in, hunkered down, as it's called, awaiting Ian to hit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you listen very carefully, the Biden administration and the globalists all say that this is because of climate change. They're finding, ladies and gentlemen, the loose-like-lost liberals, the Marxists on the left, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, those that are Democratic Socialist Marxist governors, and in our counties where you have Socialist Marxists in leadership, they're all pointing to the storm, and at the same time, they're pointing back then and saying the problem is as a result of what is happening with climate change. So, ladies and gentlemen, it begs to be asked, demands to be answered, is it climate change that's in charge? Is it climate change that's a problem? We're made to believe that the world is out of control, that climate change is the cause of the floods and the fires and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes. But is this true? Is it Mother Earth or Father God, ladies and gentlemen, that's in control? I say to you, it's Father God and not Mother Earth or Mother Nature, as some would call it. Psalms 46 comes to mind. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not be in fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, through the mountains, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that God is our refuge. God is our hope. The government tries to tell us that it's out of control, that Hurricane Ian and all weather-related events around the globe is in the hands of climate control and the governmental agencies. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, some of these devastating events are because of man's failures. Some of these devastating events are as a result of man's faults, not obeying God and directive that God gives us in His Word. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, God sometimes is wanting to get our attention. And may I say to you that through a small storm or a large, through a hurricane or tornado, wind, fire, rain, God is using that for a purpose. And I believe the purpose is that we might turn to Him, that we might submit to Him, that we might analyze and secure His Word in our hearts. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, 9/11 was God's wake-up call. 9/11 was God's warning for us to turn back to Him. It was God's saying, I want to get the world's attention. I want to get America's attention. I want to get your attention now. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's God that created the world based on the Scripture. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God that created. It's God that's in control. In fact, when you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, a fantastic, magnificent text. It says, ladies and gentlemen, I'll paraphrase the text. Ladies and gentlemen, it says that God created it all. He created the heavens. He created everything in the heavens, under the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. And it's by Him that all things consist. That means He's the divine superglue holding it together. Ladies and gentlemen, take 1 minute. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.